Over the last couple weeks, I think God's been trying to tell me something. It's come up several times. I've just in casual conversation, I've been talking to people, and we stumble upon the phrase, there's not enough time in the day, or I don't have time for that. Whether it's work or school, hopefully some sleep, children, their activities, etc., we often say that we do not have enough time. But you know what occurred to me after these conversations with people, and I was talking about myself, I wasn't talking about them, is that that's not really the problem. You see, we all have 24 hours in a day. Time is fixed. It's our obligations, commitments, and really, in the end, priorities that have to change to meet that fixed time. Why in the first reading today do we have Elijah calling Elisha to come and follow him? And he says, let me go first, say goodbye to my family. And he says, okay, fine, go. That's what he's basically saying when he says, that funny phrase in there that I don't even remember what it says, but it's odd. It sounds odd. He's saying, fine, go. I haven't asked anything too much of you yet. Go. So he does that, and he gets rid of his things, you know, his oxen that he uses for plowing. And then he follows Elijah very faithfully. Why is he allowed to do that? But in the gospel today, this man says, I want to follow you, Jesus, but first let me bury my father. And Jesus says, no. I mean, seriously, you won't let the guy even bury his dad? Why the second guy says, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family at home. And he says this little phrase, no one who sets his hand to a plow and looks for what is left behind is fit for the kingdom of God. Meaning, if your priority is them, go, but you're not fit for the kingdom of God. It's his family, you know? You see, Jesus really does ask us to make radical commitments to him and to make him not only our first, but our sole priority. So let's take a look today at obligations, commitments, and priorities in light of today's gospel. Number one, what are we obligated to do? That is, obliged to do. And you know, I was thinking of, like, when I was a kid, this was defined by a couple simple questions. Will I get in trouble if I do it? Right? Or will I get in trouble if I don't do it? That's an obligation. Did someone else do it and get in trouble? Or get in trouble for not doing it? That might be an obligation. What did my parents tell me? That's probably an obligation. And all of these are very legitimate ways of looking at obligations, but in the end, they fail because they're little kid ways of looking at the world. Unfortunately, many of us never grow out of it. I find myself wondering as a priest sometimes, am I obliged to fix up the parish facilities? No. Am I obliged to go to this or that parish event? Gets harder. Am I obliged to visit the person who is dying? Probably so. Am I obliged to be obedient to the bishop? Yes. Fortunately, that's never been tested. I think when we look at our obligations, we really need to ask it from a different point of view. What will my eternity depend on? In other words, if I want to understand what my obligations are, I need to understand what I'm going to be judged on for all eternity. That really is what establishes my obligations. And what is this in regards to our faith? Well, obviously the Ten Commandments. It's a good start, right? values that we were brought up with, although that's kind of a mixed bag sometimes. How many of you are aware, by a show of hands, of the precepts of the church? Okay. How many of you could list them? You can have all the money in my wallet if you can list them. I think there's like $8 in there. Nobody, right? And these are precepts. These are obligations for every Catholic. And we don't even know them. Now, most of you know them, but don't know that you know them. The first one, you shall attend Mass on Sundays and on holy days of obligation. And then the last part's the tricky one, and rest from servile labor. So sometimes on Sunday, I remember one Sunday, it was my favorite Sunday I've ever had here at Christ the King. Got done with Masses, it was a beautiful spring day. I went out into the field here, and I'd always been curious about this old giant sprinkler over in the garage and how it works. So I got it out, and I played with it, and I fixed it up and made it work. That was the most fun day. Something simple, just enjoying God's good creation. And was it servile? No, not at all. But making me to come into work on Sunday and whatever, clean or cook, that can be servile. Unfortunately, our culture doesn't recognize that. Secondly, you shall confess your sins at least once a year. Some of us have problems with that, unfortunately. And that rule is not set up to say, okay, go once a year. Remember, this is a universal precept for the whole church throughout the whole world, including in the middle of Africa where they have no priests. Actually, they have a lot of priests over there, so bad example. But it's intended for the middle of nowhere, meaning when that priest comes, you better take advantage of it because you don't know when he's coming back. And here in Wichita, oh my gosh, we got confession all day long. At one place or another. We have absolutely no excuse if we're not going regularly. And I'd say once a month is healthy for your soul. Just like eating every day is healthy for your body. Thirdly, you shall receive the sacrament of the Eucharist at least during the Easter season. Keep in mind, this is for the universal church, so if they don't have the Eucharist available, they at least need to receive it during the Easter season. Fourth, you shall observe days of fasting and abstinence established by the church. Now, all of us are familiar with Lent, right? We get into Lent. You guys are great at Lent, right? I mean, everybody shows up on Ash Wednesday every year, and it's not even a holy day of obligation. Don't tell anybody I told you that. But what about every Friday of the year? What about yesterday? Did you give something up? It's an obligation. And the U.S. bishops have been so generous with us. The universal norm throughout the whole world is that we give up meat on Friday. This is why we, even in our schools still today, on Fridays we do not have meat, unless it's a solemnity. So actually, spoke wrongly, yesterday was a solemnity, so y'all got away with it and you didn't even know it. But we're supposed to have that sense of fasting, of sacrifice, every week, every Friday. And the bishops have been very generous because they've allowed us to give up something else instead of meat. Because, man, when you can go down to Red Lobster on a Friday, it's not very sacrificial, is it? So maybe the Starbucks is. Or maybe not watching TV, you know? Lastly, you shall help provide for the needs of the church. It's your obligation. And some of you are, have you seen that commercial, the Rate Suckers commercial for car insurance? Some of us are like that. We come to church every week. And we use the services of the church. Some of us are paying for the air conditioning that we are enjoying right now. Some of us are paying for the lights we are using and the altar bread that we will use. Thank you, Altar Society. But how many of us are just using, never giving? In the gospel today, you would think this man has an obligation to bury his father, right? In fact, it's one of the corporal works of mercy to bury the dead. It seems like an impossible situation, right? Jesus is saying, no, you need to follow me. He's thinking, I've got to at least bury my dad. What do I do? Remember that in the end, God will never put you in an impossible situation where you can't fulfill all your obligations that he has given you. That's the trick. God will never put you in a position where you can't fulfill all the obligations that he has given you. A commitment is defined as the state or quality of being dedicated to a cause, activity, etc. So a club, a sport, maybe even a hobby could be a commitment. It's also defined as an engagement or obligation that restricts freedom of action. It's interesting. So if you're married, the fact that you have a commitment to your spouse, does that restrict your freedom? Yes. As a parent, do your children restrict your freedom? Can you just go out whenever you want? Especially if you got little kids. No. And what kind of commitment do you think Jesus is looking for from us? Is he like looking for the hobby level commitment? Or maybe the sport team level commitment? Maybe the work level commitment, right? A lot of us are very dedicated to our jobs. We show up on time. We do good work. Is that what Jesus is looking for? Maybe Jesus is looking, is he looking for the marriage level of commitment? Of course, given your experience of marriage, that could be under work. You never know. In the end, Jesus is looking for a complete, singular, and total commitment. Complete, singular, and total. And some of us have too many commitments. And it's time to get rid of some. Remember what Jesus also says, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Not talking about your eyeball. Don't need any more pirates. He's talking about these things that get in the way of our sanctity. And brothers and sisters, too many commitments, or commitments not made in the right place, can do that. Lastly, priorities. Is there an usher available? Okay. Let's get a younger usher. Brandon. No offense. There's a gentleman out there getting into a car, and I just want to make sure he's not stealing from anybody. Go out and check. Run. Because you're young. That's right. That's as fast as you can run. Oh, no, I think we're good. Sorry, Brandon. That's him right there, so he must be okay. Okay, sorry, time in. Priorities, defined as the right to precede others in order, rank, privilege, etc., precedence. Also defined as something given special attention. This word comes from prior, which if you're Catholic, you've heard of a prior before, right? He's the head guy at a monastery, or the head lady at a monastery too, is the prior. It means it precedes in importance, comes before anything else. So how many of us treat Mass and adoration and our ministry as being more important than everything else? I think we all do in our heads, don't we? I mean, none of you would stand up and say this something is more important than Mass or your devotion to the Lord or your prayer. None of us are going to say that. We're not stupid. But yet many of us say it by the way we live our lives, the things we do. And remember what Jesus said, faith without works is dead, meaning you can say it all day long. You can profess it all day long. But if you don't do it, it's worthless. In reality, and I am totally guilty of this too, so I'm not standing here to accuse anyone, but we try to fit Jesus in. But look what's happening to the guy in the gospel today who tries to fit Jesus in. Wait a second, Jesus, you stand right here. I'm going to go bury my dad and I'll come back and I'll follow you. A somewhat reasonable request, and yet Jesus does not accept it. What's the difference between the Old Testament where Elisha can go and say goodbye to his family and the New Testament where Jesus says, no, you got to come now? Brothers and sisters, there is a sense of urgency and priority now that Jesus has come and is coming again. And not just for you. That's a selfish way to think about it. You might think, well, I got my priorities straight. I go to Mass every weekend. I'm preaching to the choir here, aren't I? But it's not just about you. Every one of your actions shows what's priority in your life. And it preaches to everybody around you. When your friends ask you, hey, can you come out Wednesday night? And you say, well, I'm sorry, I can't. I have adoration. What's adoration? Well, I sit in a chapel in front of a piece of bread for an hour. Why would you do something like that? Why don't you come out? The bar will be a lot more fun. That's a preaching moment right there. An evangelistic moment right there. Jesus deserves better than for us to just fit him in. You've heard people say before, and I've heard this a million times, Father, at least they're coming to Mass some of the time. Does God deserve our at least? Or does he deserve our at most, our best, our first? So what are your obligations, commitments, and priorities? And more importantly, what do they preach to others? A good way to determine this is by what your calendar says. Does your calendar, if I go home to your calendar, check your phone after Mass, would I say this person's priority is God? Does your wallet, your checkbook, we don't even use those anymore, do we? Your bank statement online, does it show that God's your priority? Does your casual conversation at work? You see, brothers and sisters, in the end, there's no such thing as not having enough time. And I fall into that temptation myself. But it's a lie. There is such a thing as not realizing or fulfilling our obligations. There is such a thing as too many commitments. There is such a thing as not having our priorities in order. But there is no such thing as not having enough time. Why? Because God gives you that time. We are stewards of it. He gives us everything we need. Please join me in this Eucharist today, praying for the courage to be honest with yourself and with others about where your obligations, commitments, and priorities are.